the Bible says here, neither bread to the wise nor riches to the men of understanding, but favor. Could he say favor? They say, no, yet favor the men of skill. You know, listen, not everybody who is skilled experience favor. Because favor, it says, no, favor to men of skill, but, say but. Favor comes in its time. Say time. Time. It's that word time there is not the word kairos or chronos. It's the word et, E-T. It gives the same description like kairos in the Greek. It gives the same description that there is a season where God releases favor on his people. Sometimes we live under so much persecution and attack, and things are so hard, and you are asking, you're not getting, you're knocking, and doors are not opening. It seems like you're trying to make things happen, but nothing is happening. And you begin to give up in your spirit after trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing. After trying all the time, you ask her to marry you, she said no. You ask her again, she said no. You try to take flowers, they said no. And after a while, you just give up and it never happened. And you don't understand, in this month of favor, something shift. You wouldn't even have to ask. You just have to look like you're going to ask and say, yes, 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 yes. And God is saying this month, things are not going to happen the way it used to. Hey, I'm not hearing the believers this morning. God is saying this month, I'm about to release favor in this seventh month. Come on. I'm about to give you preferential treatment. I'm about to cause acceleration to take place in the way I do things for you. Just this month, I'm about to release it upon you. If you will believe it, I will do it for you according to your level of faith. Could he say amen? You know, the Bible says, believe the Lord and you shall be established, and believe his prophets. You know, I'm not officially a prophet, but I prophesy at times and things happen. Are you hearing me today? I prophesy sometimes and see things happen. And many times when I prophesy, people look at me like I'm crazy. But I want to let you know, I'm not crazy in world sense of crazy. I'm crazy for God. I'm crazy to say what he says is going to happen. And I believe this morning that if you will believe God, if you will open your mouth big and speak, God will pack you up. He says, I shall be with you. Thy mouth. If you could say, I will do it. If you could ask, I will perform it. I'm a God who performs according to my word. I am not a man that I shall lie, neither the son of some man that I will repent. If I said it, I will do it. If I said it, I will do it. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I don't need you to encourage me, because I need some miracles in my life. I need favor in my life. So I'm preaching to myself. He says, if I said it, I will do it. If I promise it, I will surely make it good. I am not your friend. I am not your homeboy who promise you and don't show up. I am not your wife or your husband who say yes and then change their mind. I do not change my mind. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you will believe me, I will show up on your behalf. I declare that this is the month of favor, and all I need is somebody to believe me, somebody to believe me, somebody to say what I say, somebody to trust me, somebody to activate what I've already released, and you will begin to see me manifest what I promise. Hey, somebody shout, this is for me. I have discovered in deliverance. Come, both of y'all, Wayne and Phil. I have discovered that many of our family, stand right here, many of our family members, I want you to hold his hands captive. Hold his hands. I have discovered many of our family members, our friends, the enemy has restricted them. and have them captive. They cannot move. It seems that your life is not moving. They are held in bondage based on some law they have broken, something they have given access to, something that they have allowed, some thought that they have embraced, and the enemy has taken them prisoner. Are you with me today? But I have discovered as we begin to pray, there are certain months that the enemy, his hands grow weak because of the constant battering against the enemy, the constant battering in intercessory prayer, the constant battering. The enemy gets tired and he loses the hands. Only he loses the hands. And when his hands is loosened, it is your season of favor to run away. But sometimes we still have to feel like he is still holding us, because he's been holding us so long, we don't know how to experience and what deliverance feel like anymore, because I still feel I am in bondage. I still feel the struggle. I still feel the battle. I still feel like I am held back. But the devil's hand has been broken. He has been destroyed, because it is your season of deliverance. But you don't know you've been delivered, because your mind has got adjusted and acclimated to being in bondage. And God is saying you need to behave like a free man, but you still standing there waiting to feel deliverance, and then the enemy lay back his hands on you again. So there are times, not because you feel it, you have to do it by faith, because he said it. Can somebody say amen? Oh, I still feel like I am bound, but my God said to me, I am free. So the enemy's hand is broken. So run for your life. Begin to get away from the things that has held you captive. Begin to behave like you are free, because deliverance doesn't start in the outward realm first. It starts in the realm of the spirit. And as you begin to behave it, the enemy will begin to, you'll begin to feel a manifestation of what has already happened in the realm of the spirit. Thank you. That's why many times when you're praying for people, you will see they get better today and they're back to normal. And you say, wow, what happened? All of a sudden, their whole personality changed. It seemed like they're talking different. They're coming home early. They're doing everything. They're washing the dishes. They're volunteering. They're sitting in the living room. What happened? And all of a sudden, they go back to that place again. It is because they don't even know they got their time of favor came. The Bible says that Joseph's feet was held in fetters until his time. The time that his word came. The word came. The word came, and the Bible says, and the Lord sent and loosed him. I want to let you know it's time for you to be loosed. Tell somebody, I'm loose. This is not just foot loose. This is real loose. The devil can't hold me back not one day. I am so delivered. I am about to run and not get weary. I'm about to mount up and not faint. I'm about to scale the walls, because God has already set me free. My feet has been loose. Could somebody say amen? Hey, somebody say amen. The Bible said time. Say time. Kairos. Seasons. And chance to run. Chance to experience elevation. You call it divine moments. Opportune moments. Comes to all men. So why do some people don't seize the opportunity? Because they don't believe it. Because they are waiting to see everything materialize before they move. Are you hearing me today? The Bible said when Paul and Silas were in prison and the gates were not open, somehow they were praying all day and the doors were not open. But sometime around midnight, they switched from prayer to praise. They begin to sing praises, and somehow God began to send an earthquake. Are you hearing me today? They begin to sing, and then the gates were open. Are you hearing? The gates were open on its own accord. And when they reach out into the city, the gates of the city open before them. That's the time of your favor, when gates are open, when the jails are open. But they could have stayed in the jail and said, if we leave, they're going to get us and put us back. You need to understand, if God opened the jail, it means that God could keep you from going back. You have to do something. There is no shift without movement. There is no shift in the realm of the spirit until you move in faith, until you do something you have never done. You cannot call it a shift when the earth shift is an earthquake has to take place and cause movement and then things shift in the realm of the spirit. I tell you this morning, today is a time of things shifting in your life. I know you look broke. I know you look busted, and some people say you will never make it, but something is shifting. Hey, as you begin to praise God, God is about to cause an earthquake to open the jails. Oh, you're about to break through. I know it takes more than that to stir you, but I want to let you know God is about to open those doors before you. And as you begin to walk through these doors, even the doors of the city will be open before you. God is about to break through, give you a new job, about to shift things in your life in a way it has never happened. Hey, somebody shout hallelujah. If you believe it, get excited about Jesus. Even your excitement torments the devil. Your excitement paralyzes the devil. The Bible said Jehoshaphat, he set forth praises and they begin to shout. And as they shout, the enemy was paralyzed. Jesus, somebody shout Jesus. He is my Lord. Hey, he is my Savior. Hey, he is my deliverer. He is my Savior, my keeper, my healer. Don't get mad at me because I'm shouting. You could move, but don't get mad at me. If you know what I've been through, you will shout too. You don't understand. I was in depression. I was in bondage. You don't understand. The doors were shut. I'm shouting because I know I'm free. I know I'm healed. I know I'm delivered. Hey, hey, hey. Don't get mad at me. You should know my God. You will get excited too. If you know what I just saw in the realm of the spirit, if you know what God just told me, you got understand. Hey, hey, hey. Could you turn around and give somebody a high five and say, don't get mad at me, rejoice with me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, oh, that church is too loud. I want to let you know God don't suffer with depression. He don't get nervous because of your shouting. He loves excitement. In heaven, it's filled with excitement. Listen, you go to the cemetery, it's very quiet in the cemetery. But when the people are alive, they get excited. They jump and they leap. Hey, somebody say amen. Woo, Jesus. I hear somebody saying, I didn't plan to behave like this morning. I thought I would be sophisticated. I came to church hoping to keep this perm for a week, and this man is sweating my perm out. He don't understand. I pay $80 for this week, but I don't care because what God has done for me, he give me more money to do my hair. Woo! If you know what happened this week, have your seats. I'm about nearly finished. Hey, do you understand, man? Do you understand? When you shout, you are paralyzing the enemy. the enemy is that keep them quiet, keep them quiet, keep them quiet. You know, I heard a story, man. I heard a story about this church. I was listening to this story Shambach told, man. And he said, this pastor took over this church. And when he took over this church, man, the people used to shout and they used to laugh and they would be jumping. And he says, those people are carnal. When I take over this church, I'm changing all of that. He was a doctor of theology. He had all these titles behind him. And he stood up in front of the church and he said, no more shouting in this church. I want a quiet church. I want an intellectual church. I want you to receive the word and stop making all this noise. And he began to sit there and teach and nobody would say anything. And he taught for like about 3 or 4 months. And he get them in the place he wants them. The church was as dead as the cemetery. And then one day he's preaching in this man shout, hallelujah! He was so mad. He says he couldn't finish preach because when that man shout, everybody begin to shout. It's contagious. See, it's contagious. Hallelujah. The next Monday morning, he went to the man's house and the man was plowing his field and he went and he told the man, he said, listen, all that noise you were making, why are you making so much noise? He said, you caused the trouble. And the man said, pastor, I didn't plan to do it. I really wasn't planning to disturb your service, but when I begin, I was a drunk, I was an alcoholic. My wife left me, I went through this and that and the other. And you were preaching, man, and the place was so quiet, it made me think. And I began to think about all God has done for me. And I had to give God all this glory. I had to thank the Lord for what he has done for me. Are you hearing me today? Listen, my God, don't worry about the people next to you. You need to know what God has done for you. You could have been strung out on crack cocaine. You could have been a prostitute. Or you might be getting over something that you know God has brought you out. Woo! Hey, hey, hey. Hiya, all right, let's get to the word now. Let me be that intellect. You know, I used to say to God, I remember a couple of years ago, I said, Lord, I want to be a preacher like Charles Stanley. Just stand one place. And you know, the Lord said, in the book of Luke chapter 2, verses 4, I said, Lord, every time I get up there, you disturb me, God. You mess up my plan. I go and I look at my Facebook. I say, Cassius, you got to cool it, man. You're too crazy. You're too wild. You got to cool it. But every time I come up here, you mess me up, Holy Ghost. I'm not in control. He is. I try to be. Really, I really try. I really try to be. I don't want to sweat. I try to be very, very, very sophisticated, but it just doesn't work. Because when I think about his goodness, man, when I think about I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'm pastoring a building that God bought for me. I'm driving a car God bought for me. I'm living a house God bought for me. I'm wearing clothes he bought for me. My God, you want to be happy? When people told me I wouldn't make it, he helped me. When people tell me I won't die, I survived. I not only survived, but I thrived. Are you hearing me today? I was looking at Jesus and Facebook said, I got shot 6 times and I'm alive. I was like, man, I never got shot. But in the spirit, I got bombed. I got attacked with Scud missiles. They attacked me. They tried to break me down. But I'm still here. Hey, hey, hey. Don't be mad at me at all. Psalms 102 verses 13. I can tell we ain't going to finish this message today. There's a very quiet church on the fourth floor. In Psalms 102, verses 13, hear what the Bible says. Thou shall arise. Say, you shall arise. You see, this is a prophetic word. This is not even my message. This is just the word for the month. Thou shall arise. Say, God is about to arise on my side. Listen to me. The Bible says, let God arise and all my enemies will be scattered. Are you hearing me today? God is about to arise on your behalf. Could he say amen? Could he say amen? Could he say amen? God is about to arise on my behalf. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 6 and Isaiah says, arise and shine, for your light has come. When God arises, it's time for you to arise. Are you hearing me today? He's about to arise and have mercy. Say, have mercy. I know you're holding it against me. I know you wish things happened to me. But God is saying, mercy, mercy, mercy. Say, mercy. I know you're remembering all my past. I was sharing the story this morning. I heard this pastor. You know, I like to listen to testimonies. And Benny Hinn was saying, he was seeing Catherine Kruman, this great woman of God. You know, when she was preaching, right, back in those days, you know, divorced people, they used to beat you down for being divorced. They still do in some churches. You know, I believe if God can forgive a crackhead, a murderer, you can forgive a divorced person too. Are you hearing me today? I have no problem against your divorce. Just don't go marry somebody of the same sex. Let me go forward. So the thing about it is this. So she was being persecuted for being divorced. And she was being attacked for being divorced. And then she was being attacked for being a woman preacher. So they were attacking her both because people believe women shouldn't preach. But I believe there's a woman who started preaching the first. She was the first preacher. It was a woman who carried the word the first time. She carried it in her womb. Are you hearing me today? Jesus is the word became flesh. And I believe if she could carry the word in her womb, she could sure carry it in her mouth. Could he say amen? So, you know, so they told her, you can't preach because you're divorced. And she says, they say, we looked down, you know, in the city, in the, you know, when we look at the city, the register, we saw that you've been married and now you are divorced. And you, that's a shame to the body of Christ. And that's a shame to scripture. You know, God says he hates divorce. She says, you know what, man, I know what you're saying, but you know what? I don't know who you're talking about. And they say, yes, the name there says Catherine, so, so, so. She said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know who is that because the Bible says, any man be in Christ is a new creature. All things passed away, all things become new. I know you think that, and God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my. She said, I don't know that person because I'm a totally, and the things that I did is already, I'm not that person. You talking to the wrong person. I'm a new person in Christ. And sometimes the devil want to remind you of your failures, your shortcomings. And do you know God has forgotten what you did last week, last night, 2 hours ago? Once you repent, it's under the blood, it's wiped away. And in the mind of God, it never happened. So when you are mad at me because I did something, God is saying, what you talking about? I'm showing them mercy. Mercy, mercy is saying, I'm going to give you favor even though you deserve judgment. God says this month he shall arise and he shall show me mercy. Say, I'm going to receive mercy. Not only going to show me mercy, he said, I'm going to show mercy to Zion, the house of the living God. If somebody in this house needs mercy, you need to get excited. I know some of y'all don't mess up. Some of y'all, it seems like you're perfect. You are like the Virgin Mary. But if you need mercy this morning, you need to get excited and thank the Lord for his mercy. Thank him for his mercy. And God is so good, his mercies are new every morning. See, if you think I used up my mercy yesterday, today there's whole new mercy. Oh, there's new, every day, new mercies I see. Tell somebody every day. Oh, God is so good. You're the legalistic person. Yeah, but God won't judge you for your sin. Yeah, but God is talking about what sin? What did he do? God, you didn't see they stole that? God said, no, I didn't see that. You didn't see they said that? No, I didn't see that. When? God, you say you see everything. He said, I don't see sin when it's confessed. When it's repented of, it goes under my blood and I can't even find it. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me today? So the devil has no sentence against you. That's what the Bible said, Romans chapter 8, verses 1. There is no condemnation. Say no condemnation. Yes, when you sin, condemnation is available. But when you repent and turn away from your sin and you go under the blood, the Bible says there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Come on. Tell somebody I'm free. I'm about to close here just now. I don't know, I might be saying this for this one person. Someone on the line, you need God's mercy and God is releasing it to you right now. He said, you will have mercy upon Zion for the time of favor. Say the time of favor. Yay, the Kairos time of favor, the season of favor. Your Bible says not only the season of favor, but it's a set time. It seemed like when the clock strike 12:01, the season has changed and you step over. It's like a set time. It's like God set the clock and said, at this time, the season is going to change. It comes like I'm flying to Paris and I'm going to leave here. I'm going to leave. Listen, when you come back from Paris, I leave there at 4 o'clock and reach here at 4 o'clock. How could I leave there at 4 o'clock and reach here at 4 o'clock? It is a set time. We're on different time zone and God set the time for you. And he said, at this time, I'm going to change your season. Things are not going to happen like it used to. What do I have to do? When I fly from here, I flew to India. And when I got to India, it was 12 hours different. For me to adjust to the Indian time, I had to adjust my mind. My body was saying, I need sleep. I was jet lagged because my mind needed to get catch up with the time. Woo! So because my mind couldn't catch up with the time, my body was in shock. I had to put my body in rest so that my mind could catch up with the time. That's why there's a rest of the people of God. You gotta put your body in rest. Put your soul, your emotions at rest so that your mind could catch up with this time. I know you're accustomed working hard to get everything. I know you got to do this and 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 do this for this to happen. But God is saying that is over this month. This month, you will not have to do that. The reaper will be in the field with the sower. I'm about to cause things to shift because there's a movement in the realm of the spirit. Could you say, I receive, Pastor? I receive that anointing. It is by his anointing that God is causing this ship. The time to favor you is here. The set time. Tell me, the set time. I tell you a story. I tell you one testimony. In the month of favor, for 2 years, I built a 7-family house. And for 2 years, I couldn't get tenants. Tenants will not come. Put up signs everywhere. The devil's out to tell me, you miss God. You're so stupid. You waste your money. Look what you did. Nobody want to rent your place. You didn't hear from God. How you think this and that? And he was trying to beat me down mentally. But somehow, it wasn't the season yet. Hey, God gave me 2 reasons for it. One of the reasons was the spirit of poverty was blocking the breakthrough. And when the month of miracles came, God moved the spirit of poverty all of the way. It was on somebody. And God moved that spirit of poverty from out of. And when that spirit moved, in 1 month, 5 tenants shows up. And I said, God, only you could do something like that without any signs. One sign in relation to 20 signs. One sign, God caused all this. And God has a way. When is your set time? What didn't happen for 40 years Elizabeth got pregnant at her set time. Zacharias couldn't give birth, but at a set time, he got his wife pregnant. Abraham, at a set time, got Sarah pregnant. And you are pregnant this morning. If you will believe it, God will begin to bring forth things you have never seen. You got to get your mind to adapt. Get your mind to adapt. Get your mind to adapt. The mountains is not before you, it's in your mind. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3. I'm about to close. I got 15 minutes to finish. Are you all receiving this morning? I don't know. Last week, Saturday, God says to me, he gave me a scholarship and my ministry has changed. If you feel things are happening too exponentially and too loud, something has already shifted. In the book of Exodus chapter 3 verses 20. And I will put forth my hands. I'll put out my hands. And I will smite Egypt with all my wonders. Say all my wonders. Say God will do it. This is God working together with you in your set time. He said I will put forth my hands. That is what happens this month. The difference between you and your unbelieving friends is the hand of God. The difference between you and your other family members, it is the anointing of God or God's hand that's upon your life and your situation. Could you say amen? Amen? The reason why you are not crumbling when everybody else is crumbling is because of the hand of God. Are you hearing me today? When I see people crumble under easy light pressure, I know the hands of God. The hands of God. You need the hands of God on your life. When the hands of God is on your life, you withstand pressure. You withstand the storm. You withstand the rain. You withstand the flood. You withstand the fire. Are you with me this morning? The hands of God kept Joseph. When he was in a pit, when he was in a prison, when his brothers buried him and turned his back on him, it was the hand of the Lord upon him. If the Lord was not on my side, they would have destroyed me. But because God's hands is on me, I will survive. Say, I shall survive. You know, when you begin to discover, I was sharing with my leaders this morning, the word loyalty means statue. Could he say statue? It gives the definition or the analogy of a statue. It means when somebody is loyal, the hands of God is on them. And they are like a statue. The rain beats against them, they don't move. The storm hit them, snow is falling. God fixed the disposition of their face. Whatever revelation God has given to shape the God in them. And they put a smile on their face. Listen to me. It stays the same way through the storm, through the rain, through the cloud. The snow is falling and they have that smile. You don't see a statue today have a smile and tomorrow they're serious and tomorrow they're sad. A statue have the same disposition, the same expression during everything. The flood came and the water all up to the statue's neck and he's still like this. When you see the Statue of Liberty, she's like this. She don't put on her hands. And you got a loyalty means through the flood, I'll be the same place. Through the storm, I'll be this every. The Bible said, 1,000 will fall on my side, 10,000 on my right hand. I am the same way. Just like my God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. A statue don't move. He don't pick up himself today and say, I don't like where I am. I go across the street. He stays right there until his master moves him. He do not move. That's what the Bible calls us, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Are you hearing me today? He wants you to be planted and stay there because his hands are on you. The birds poop on that statue, he's still smiling. You know how much birds poop on the Statue of Liberty? You know how much ducks and all those pelicans poop on that thing, man? You know how many dogs pee at the bottom and that statue is still like. That's loyalty. Could he say that's loyalty? That's what it is described as. So when the hand of the Lord, the Bible says, and I will put forth my hand and smite the Egyptians with all my wonders, and I will do in the midst of the earth after they have let them go, and I will give this people favor. Say favor. He said, I will put my hands on you and on your enemies. And I will give you favor. Say favor. These people were slaves. They were exploiting these people until the set time of God came. When the set time of God came for these slaves, somehow God shift the woman, the Egyptian woman, and all of a sudden, these Egyptian women begin to give their slave all their jewelry. I see God touching people's heart to put wealth in your hands in the name of Jesus. People who hate you, people who despise you, people who exploited you, it is time of restitution. It is time of restoration. And I will restore the years that a pamper womb, and God is about to restore it this month. Could somebody say amen? Could you say amen? In this month of favor, God will turn the Egyptians to you. This is the month of raises and bonuses. Could somebody say amen? This is the month of marital proposals. Could you say amen? This is the month of revelation and things are stepping into levels that you have never seen before. This is the month of you getting your own home, getting the bodies have been preserved and reserved for you. This is the month for you to pursue and recover all. Say, recover all. You will never recover what you're not willing to pursue. You will never receive what you're not really to believe. You gotta believe it before you could receive it. And this month, if you will release your receiver, God will send forth into your station and minister to your need if you will only believe him. Hey, hey, hey. Woo. I'm about to close, man, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Sound like a Baptist preacher this morning. No problems against the Baptist. I say I feel like one. The Bible says, and I will give this people favor, preferential treatment. I will make you look pleasant in their sight. I will touch their heart. When they look at you, they will feel compelled to bless you. I will touch their heart. When they look at you, they will feel, what have I done for them lately? I need to do something for them. Just like when Elisha used to go to that great woman's house, and every year he is going to a house and she wouldn't do much for him. And then this year he came, and somehow was the year of favor. When he walked in, she says, a husband, what have we done for this man? He comes every year and we haven't done anything for him. We should make a room for him. I tell you, God is about to make a room for you. He's about to put a bed and a table and a lamp and a chair. So when he comes, he can refresh himself. This might be a holy man of God. We might miss our blessing. I want to let you know, it is a timing when those things come into manifestation. And somehow I believe by God that this month, the month of July, it is not a month of lies. It's a month that God will begin to show you that he is strong. He will put his hands on your enemies, and he will put his hands on your life, and he will turn it to your favor. Somebody is getting healed this morning. Somebody is getting delivered. Somebody is getting a breakthrough. Somebody on Facebook, on live, you are getting touched by the power of God. God is visiting you right now in your bed, in your home, in your car. He is changing your life. You don't even know your life is already changed. You are about to drive into a new season, and you don't even know that it's a new season. You ever take a drive from New Jersey to Florida in a winter? You start off in winter and 24 hours later you're in summer. You wonder what happened. There was a shift. I leave one place, and as I went forward, I changed my season. I'm about to close, and I will give this people favor. Say, you receive favor this morning. And it shall come to pass. Say, it shall come to pass. Tell your neighbor, it is going to come to pass. That when I leave this church today, I am not leaving empty. loaded up. Here the Bible says, oh God, thank be to God who loaded us up daily. God is loading you up in the realm of the spirit. He's loading you up. See, he's loading me up. All you need your faith to reach out into the realm of the spirit. You need to pull what has been loaded in your you call it like your archive, in your box, in the realm of the spirit reserved for you. You need to use your faith and pull it into your life. Say, I'm not leaving empty. I want to let you know, your harvest, God said this to me this week. He said, Cassius, your harvest is not in your seeds, it's in your seed. He said, these people don't have your harvest. Your harvest is in your seed that you will sow. All week I've been sowing. I've been sowing like a madman. The little I have, I'm giving it away. Because I understand, until I'm willing to give away what I have little of, I'm not making room for what I need. I need to give away the little bit I have to make room for the abundance that's coming. My mind will say, you know, wisdom says you need to hold on what you have. But you know, God's wisdom says that when I cast my bread upon the waters. Remember, there's a difference between bread and seed. Bread is for me to pay my bills, pay my mortgage, pay my rent, put away for my kids. And then seed is for me to sow. But there are seasons of favor. There are seasons when I need a breakthrough. There's seasons when I need a shift. There is no shift unless there's movement. You know, my hands have to move. My mouth has to move. There has to be movement before there's a shift. And there's a season. There's a season when I need a big breakthrough that I have to take my bread and turn it into a seed and cast it upon the waters. And then the Bible says, after many days, say many days, say many days, it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together. Say shaken together. Say running over. Listen, you got to understand as we leave this morning, come back, both of y'all. I want to show you something as we leave. God spoke to me this week and he says, there's a spirit of poverty. Many of us have received this spirit from our homes, the people we hang from, our culture, your family sometimes. Sometimes it's mindsets that you have learned that tell you, don't trust nobody, don't do this, don't give nobody your money. The devil has shaped your mind to be skeptical, cynical, critical, judgmental, doubtful, no faith. And you think he is talking to your mind, but he is taking control of your life. He is creating a mindset so that he can control you. You need to understand that every one of us, we have a biological DNA or chemical DNA that determines what our body does at what time. But then our emotions, which is our soul and our spirit, has to be written through information, through revelation, through words and speech and things that you feed. You don't born with education. You are educated as you grow and as you apply the knowledge that people give to you. The same way with your emotions need to be educated. You have to educate yourself. You got to feed your emotions. You got to tell it what to do. You got to feed your soul and your intellect and your will. Your will, God has left your will for you to decide what you're going to do with it. You have to program your will, program your feelings, program your, you have to program yourself with words. But if you don't program yourself, the enemy will program you. He will feed you with words and words and words. Tell you will never make it. Tell you you'll never. Put away that money. You will lose. Put fear in you. Have you doubting everybody. Have you being skeptical. Don't trust nobody. And he will have you living in this box and he will box you in. And then what he will do, he will come in front of you like this. Put out your hands. As the spirit of poverty. So if I'm over here praying for you, Lord, I ask you to bless Wade. He's my brother. Lord, I pray a breakthrough upon his life. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you will just change his situation. And I ask you for a breakthrough. Every time the blessing is coming, poverty will block it. The spirit of poverty that is being empowered by his mindset will block everything he has and everything that is coming to him. Are you hearing me today? The thing that the spirit of poverty does, it tells him, it gives him a sense of entitlement. They need to do this to me, and they need to do that. And my mother should do this to me, and the white man should do this, and this should happen. I always have him thinking that everybody should do something for him. That's one of the things. The next thing about the spirit of poverty, it makes you doubt and criticize and attack everything you don't understand. It makes you attack the church. And why the church? Because the devil knows your breakthrough is in the house. So he will formulate your mind and he will adjust your mind to hate the church, to hate giving, to hate sowing, to hate preachers, and to always be skeptical about it. Because he knows that if you get a breakthrough in your mind, then this spirit has to leave. Are you hearing me today? So he will block you, and then everybody you give birth to will live behind that blockage. Are you hearing me today? The blessing cannot get beyond that blockage. The same way when Daniel was praying, and the Bible said he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And at the end of 21 days, the angel came to him and said, Daniel, from the first day you pray, I was released. But the prince of Persia blocked me. And until, because you continue speaking and declaring, Daniel didn't have a spirit of poverty, but the city had it. The mindsets of the people had it. And it was blocking the blessing to get to Daniel because of where he was located. But he kept on praying. And he kept on confessing. And that spirit broke through that spirit of poverty and came to Daniel 21 days later. But if you don't have somebody, the Bible says he prayed and confessed and talked to God. Ain't nothing happening to you. Listen, you can give Wayne $500 and that dollars will leave his hands because the spirit of poverty will take it away from him. The spirit of poverty keeps you from rising. And the way it keeps you from rising, it attacks your mind and it makes you feel that everybody owe you. That's why when God gave Judas the basket, it was to teach him. It was to teach him the power of giving. And when Jesus, when that woman came to wash Jesus' feet, he was so stingy. He said, why is she washing your feet? Because he had a spirit of poverty. He felt that Jesus was not entitled to all that money. He was entitled to it because he was stealing from the bag. Until that spirit killed him. I want to let you know, man. Until his mind changed, this thing will never leave him. And then if you put Wayne, stay there, to run your business, you are here. You hire Wayne to run your business. You have a business here. He running your business. Your business will never succeed. Because everything that's coming to you is being blocked by the spirit of poverty that is on him. And until his mind changes, when his mind changes, then this spirit has nothing longer to hold on to. Are you hearing me today? He has to leave. So revelation opens the door to manifestation now. So because that's why people don't like to give. People who are stingy. People who are greedy. People who want everything for themselves. Spirit of poverty. Small-minded. Always thinking about me and my phone, no more. Are you hearing me today? Always looking in somebody else's pocket. Oh, she need all that weave. You buy the weave. Leave the girl alone. Oh, you buying that expensive shoe. You know what, man? They could take that money and feed the poor. You give yours. Are you feeding the poor? No. What are you wearing my shoe about? I didn't ask you for money to buy it. Spirit of poverty talks to you like that because it is forming a mindset. Thank you, guys. But God is saying this month. Could he say this month? Could he say this month? It is your season of favor. The spirit of poverty blocks increase. It blocks money. It blocks favor. It blocks revelation. It blocks a change of mindset. It blocks opportunity. It blocks prosperity. It blocks the language of prosperity. There is a language of prosperity. It blocks you from talking faith. But a spirit of favor is a spirit of open doors. Could he say open doors? It is a spirit that opens the doors to favor to you. Could you say amen? Amen? It is a spirit of increase. It is a spirit that delivers money. It delivers revelation. It delivers increase. It changes your mindset. It delivers opportunities, breakthroughs, ideas. It gives you grace. It gives you a new language. Listen, because what you say attracts spirits. Spirits are attracted to words. And I'm done right here. How I know? The angel said, this same scripture. See that? The prince of Persia, go back to verse. He said, I remained there. Go to verse before, verses 12. I didn't even quote it. She found it. The first thing he said, fear not, Daniel, for the day that thou hast set thyself to the hand of the chief for before God, thy words. Say thy words. Say thy words. Say thy words. Thy words were heard. And I am come because of what you say. If fallen angels are synonymous to evil spirits and they used to live with God, they understand that when words are speak, that they are deployed. Whatever works in the positive, there is a contradiction in the negative. That angel was dispatched because of Daniel's positive speaking. But when we speak poverty language, we attract spirits that come to us because of our words. You will never drive away the spirit of poverty if you talk like him. If you say what he says. Come on. If you say what he tells you to say, because he programmed your mind. And I used to have a spirit of poverty. Man, I seen things that are so hard, man. It seemed like I can't make it. It seemed like all the people want is your money, man. They're just trying to rob you and take advantage of you. You feel everybody trying to take advantage of you. You feel everybody trying to rob you. Everybody trying to hoodwink you. Everybody trying to set you. Everybody is trying to set you up. You need to spare. Man, I declare God, I'm the blessed of the Lord. Ain't no weapon formed against me could prosper. They could try to come against me one way, but they're going to flee before me seven ways. I declare I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm rising every day. My life is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Are you hearing me today? That's how you need to talk. That's the prosperity language. This month, if you would align your words and align your mind with the word of God, you will begin to see the manifestations of God.